Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
Morning, church. My name is Corey Gummelt, and I serve as a student pastor here at the Fields, and it's an honor to be able to share with you God's word and deliver God's word with you. Hey, students. And so I have been a student pastor for a full-time student ministry for over 10 years now, and it is a blessing, a challenge, but it is a blessing to walk with students through the teenage years of their lives. And every once in a while as a student pastor, I've really learned to tone down my competitiveness. That was really something I was not good at in my early years. I've gotten better at it, but every once in a while there's these moments where I feel like I need to just show them how good I am at certain things. And so that, like, hey, like the great, I think Toby Keith said, you know, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. And so I feel like there's moments where I need to show them, hey, I was once a college athlete. I know that was many, many years ago, but I still have some skills here and there. So I'm about to show you a video, but before, let me set this up. So I was taking a group of seniors out on a senior retreat out to this lake house, and I had one of those moments. And there is a student of mine, really sweet kid named Ben, and Ben swam on the Coppell varsity swim team. And so he's obviously a good swimmer, and I have never swam competitively. But there was this moment where I thought, you know what? I'm gonna beat him in a race. All right, and so I'm the one on the right, he's the one on the left. Clearly, you will know which one was which. And so let me show you this video. All right, so clearly it didn't work out for me well on this one, but what I learned was is that Ben, every couple strokes, would look to his left and see the tree line. And on our way to the other dock, trying to race the other dock, he was keeping his aim and focus on the tree line and making sure he was going right. In my mind, I thought, I'm a straight swimmer. Like, I can do this. I put my head down and I'm just swimming as hard as I can with no, like, I'm thinking I am straight. At one point, I think I've got to hit the dock pretty quickly. And then I realize I am not a straight swimmer. And so I need a focus. I need something for me to focus on. And just as I was thinking about the message today, I felt like it really connected in the sense of we are called to seek first the kingdom of God, to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, which is Jesus. And many of us as believers can maybe sometimes every once in a while think, okay, I've got this now. I'm just going to work and go through my life and the routines. I'm going to run really hard. But what we don't realize is the opposition in the world is very impactful. And I believe if our focus is not on the kingdom, and I believe if our focus is not on Jesus, we will drift. We will go further away from the Lord. And so I want us to look at things today through a kingdom lens. All right, so today we're going to look at two different things, the kingdom of God versus the world. And so something I've been doing with students on Wednesday nights recently is a series called What Do You Mean? And in that, it's as you're having normal everyday conversations with people, there might be phrases or words that come up that you both probably know what it means, but like you should probably define those words. Like when someone says that they're a Christian, what do you mean by that? You know, is it just attending on a Sunday morning, or is there a deep personal relationship and a discipleship of Jesus? Oh, my truth. What do you mean by my truth? So these moments where you say, hey, you're using these words, but are we seeing them the same? And so before I dive into today's message, I want to just take a moment and say, what does it mean to be the kingdom of God, or to live according to the kingdom of God? And then what does it look like to live according to the world? What do I mean by kingdom of God, kingdom of the world? And so I want to look at the kingdom of God, or heaven, is living under the authority of God. So our hearts and our lives living according to God's way. As Jesus taught his disciples, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, when he was teaching them to pray. So when you and I live in obedience to the Lord, we are living as citizens of the kingdom. So what does it look like for us? The kingdom of heaven is living underneath the authority of God. And so living as citizens of the kingdom. And so the world or the waves of the world are those that are opposing to God, things that are sinful. So scripture talks about our world being under the influence of Satan, under spiritual darkness. So it should come to no surprise when the world says this is what life should look like. And then we look at what Jesus teaches is the kingdom of God. This is the ways of the kingdom of God, and for them to be opposed. It should not surprise us when the waves of the world are different and radically different than the ways of the kingdom. And so today, what I want to do is look at a couple things today, three words, and compare them. What does the kingdom of God say about these words? And what does the world say about these words? Because I want us to be encouraged, but also challenged to not see things through the lens of the world, but to look at the lens through the kingdom. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God. Live as citizens of the kingdom to fix our eyes on Jesus. And without really realizing it, I think at times we can take and adopt the world's ways of living and not even really realize that we're doing that. And so today, I want to look at three words through the lens of the kingdom and also what the world says. So the first one I want to look at today is the word blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? You know, the first, that as I was thinking about this, the first thing I thought about was kind of that lavish lifestyle, just that lavish lifestyle. For me, I'm someone who's on social media, and it is easy to find those people that live very lavish lifestyles. Even people who are professional bloggers and people who travel for a living to post their posts. And it's so easy for us to say, man, that person is blessed. Right, to look at the lifestyle and the extravagant, the lavish lifestyle of someone and think, man, that person is blessed. Honestly, this week might be a hard week because you're here at home and you're gonna see pictures on social media of people with awesome vacations. And you're gonna think, man, that person is blessed. It's very easy for us to look at the ways of the world and say, that's what it looks like to be blessed. But I just want you to know, don't always take the picture at face value. There's a picture in our home where it's me and my wife, Tinley, and our two dogs on our front porch. And we had just moved into a new house. And so we are taking this picture together and it looks like a great like couple picture, right? What you don't know is Tinley and I were angry at each other. We had just gotten into a fight about something and we're smiling in the picture, but underneath, we are angry. Like we are angry at each other, but when someone sees it, they're like, oh, sweet couple, that's awesome. Their pictures, the dogs are in them, right? Man, they are so blessed. But what you don't know is what's going on underneath the surface. Mark 8:36 says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? It's easy for us to look at a lavish lifestyle and say that is blessed. That's what it looks like to be blessed. The second thing is similar in possessions. So having lots of possessions is a way to say, man, that person is blessed. Did anyone ever grow up watching the show MTV Cribs? Anyone? That was my era. And so I remember them, like the camera showing up at these celebrities' houses, and they are just like palaces, right? And they're opening the door. I remember like the first time seeing a refrigerator have two doors, like massive, and being like, oh, that is blessed. Like that is amazing. I remember seeing Shaquille O'Neal's bed was in the shape of like a Superman. And I was like, they can do that, you know? Like I remember these shows and being like, that is just wild. Man, that person is blessed. Our culture today is so obsessed with celebrities. What they wear, what they have, their cars, their homes, their clothes. You can't even watch an NBA basketball game without them showing how the players entered into the stadium. From walking to the parking lot into the stadium, you've got to see what clothes were they wearing. Who cares? We watch basketball, right? But our culture is so obsessed with celebrities. What are they wearing? What do they have? All of these possessions, we can look at these possessions and say, man, that's what it looks like to be blessed. But Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The third way I think we can adopt the world's way of looking at blessed is through looks or our appearances. Man, that person is blessed. The way that they look, they are blessed. Blessed with good looks. I did a little research and it says the beauty industry's net worth in 2023 estimated $579 billion. The leader being L'Oreal and the U.S. being the highest spending country. In 2022, all aesthetic procedures, surgical and non-surgical, generated almost $12 billion. And over $100 billion was used for health and fitness. Our world is also obsessed with how we look. Because whether we feel like we were blessed by God with a certain look or we try to present ourselves in a certain way, in a certain look, so that we can present ourselves as being blessed. Now, it's good to live a healthy lifestyle, but if our hope is in our looks, we believe that's what it means to be blessed, we're falling really short of what God says it means to be blessed. If you think about all three of these things have in common is there a lot of them are external. The possessions, the lifestyle, the looks, those are outward and external. But here, I want you to know something. There are a lot of really beautiful people that have a lot of possessions and live a really big lifestyle that are broken, that don't know the Lord, that are still hoping and searching for something that will satisfy. On the outside, they look blessed, but not truly blessed. And we're gonna look at now what the kingdom says is what it looks like to be blessed. So the kingdom says, and it's Psalm 1:1-3, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it, on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." First thing I want you to see is the kingdom of God says that a person is blessed is someone who walks with and delights in the Lord. Someone who walks with the Lord in a close relationship, who walks with him and not in the ways of the world, but walks with the Lord, and also someone who delights, their heart delights in the Lord. Someone who meditates, who thinks about the Lord day and night, who thinks about the Lord. That's what it looks like to be blessed. Someone who walks with the Lord and delights in the Lord. It says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Whatever they do prospers. Do you see how different the world's view of what it means to be blessed versus who God says is blessed? The second one is humble and righteous. Matthew 5:3-10 from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's clear to see the view of what it means to be blessed from the kingdom and versus the world are different. One being external, one being internal. And the challenge for you and I is to realize when our hearts and our minds are being pulled away from the way the kingdom says is blessed towards what the world says is blessed. Do we realize it, the impact through the TV and social media and other entertainment? Do we realize how quickly we can adopt that way of thinking? But we're called to seek first the kingdom of God, have our eyes fixed on him. But after reading these, isn't it a little odd that sometimes in our prayers, we can say, "God, why aren't you blessing me like these other people? Why have you not blessed me with these things? Or these looks, appearance? Why did you make me this way?" Isn't that interesting that sometimes we can go to God and say, why aren't you blessing me? When he's saying, that's not where the blessing is. That's not what it means to be blessed. Walk with me. Delight in me. Those who are low and humble, those are the ones that are blessed. And the reason is because their source of blessing is God, not the things of this world. That God is our blessing. He promises to bless. So for us to put anything like a lavish lifestyle, possessions, looks, we put anything above God, those are idols. Those do not satisfy. But when God is our source of blessing, when our God is our greatest blessing, when we follow after him, that's when we experience what it means to be blessed. Who's humble, righteous, who walks with and delights in the Lord. That's what it means to be blessed. That's been a challenge for me as someone who's on social media and I see certain things, to know I'm not gonna live that type of lifestyle. There is just, I know that I'm not going to live a lavish lifestyle. I know there are possessions that I will never own, right? And I know there's a standard of beauty that I will never reach. But that's okay, because that's not what it looks like to be blessed. But you know what I can do? I can walk closely with the Lord, because he's promised his presence. He's given me his word. I can delight in him and think about him and who he is and what he has done for me. I can have my mind focused on him day and night. And when I am at my lowest, and even throughout my days, I can turn to him, just like the Beatitudes, I can turn to him, and it says, you will be a blessed man when you walk with him, delight in him, and reach out to him. That's what it looks like to be blessed. And you know what? That's encouraging to me, because I can do those things. There's a certain level of this world that I will never touch, and you know what? That's okay. And if that's what you're striving for, let's turn away from the way the world says is blessed, and let's focus on what the kingdom says and what God says it means to be blessed. So the second word I want to look at today is, what does it mean to be free? The world says freedom is whatever your heart desires. Do whatever your heart desires. Fill your heart, your mind, and your stomach with everything that you want. It will make you happy, right? You will have the best life. You will be free if you can just fill your heart and your mind and stomach with everything that you want. Seeking pleasure and happiness at all costs. If something is to get in the way of your happiness, cancel it. If something is to get in the way of your happiness, that's hate. Man, seek all your heart's desires. Fill your heart with your heart, your mind, and your stomach with everything that you want. Seek pleasure and happiness. Our life is short. Let's seek to be happy. Filling ourselves with the things of this world. That's part of what it means the world sees being free. I think the second thing is rejecting rules, laws, and authorities. To be the captain of your life. For you to decide what is good, what is right, what is wrong, and what is bad. To be free from limitations others may try to place on you. If someone's trying to limit me in my experiences, or it's my body, my choice. It's my body, I do what I want with it. I am free. No one can tell me how to live my life. No rules, no authorities. The world says that's what freedom looks like. To seek pleasure and happiness wherever you can find it. And don't just do a little, do a lot. Seek it all. Don't let other people tell you. Don't let anything tell you what to do. You're the captain of your life. You decide what's right and wrong. You're free from limitations. And you know what? There are some people that look at Christianity, they look at God, they look at the Bible, and they say, it's too limiting on my freedom. God's not gonna tell me how to live my life. I know what's right. It's just a bunch of rules to make me not happy. But you and I can be honest here. Where does this living free, according to the world, living free, where does it lead us? Many of us sitting here today know from experience that living free according to the world leads to a life of shame, guilt, regret, and it leads to destruction. Because living free according to the world really makes you a slave to sin. Our hearts are bent towards sin. The world is pushing us towards sin, opposed from the ways of God. And what it does is it points us towards sin. Let's look at what the kingdom says it means to be free. But the first one is free from the penalty of sin, which is death. So in Christ, you are set free from the penalty of sin, which is death. Look at this passage, Romans 6, 18 through 23. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm not using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I love this passage because, again, it shows just how different the ways of the kingdom of God are versus the ways of the world. Whereas the world says you're free, but actually it's leading you to slavery to sin, where in the kingdom of God, it says you are a slave to God now, but what you gain is eternal life, holiness, and righteousness. It is the complete opposite of the ways of the world. I love just how honest Paul is in this letter of what did you gain from this? What did you reap from this? You lived your life according to the world, and where did it get you? Empty, broken, regret. It says even now that you are ashamed of these things, living according to the ways of the world, living free according to the ways of the world, leads to death, destruction, and guilt and shame. Yet placing yourself under the authority of God, believing in Jesus Christ, yes, you become a slave to God, but it's the most freeing thing that you will ever experience. Because what do you benefit from? What do you gain from it? Eternal life, holiness, and righteousness. You gain the very presence of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So according to the kingdom of God, you are free from the penalty of sin, which is death. And the second thing is you are free from the bondage of sin, which has a hold on you. Yes, we're free from the penalty of sin, which is death, but also freedom in Christ. And what true freedom is free from the bondage of the sins in our lives. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So you and I, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are given the gift of eternal life. He has saved us by the work on the cross. His death paid for our sins. We no longer have to die according to our sins, but now we have been set free and given eternal life. Yet we still live in the tension of everyday life where our decisions, our choices, and even the way that our hearts are, we are bent towards sin. We're bent towards following the ways of the world. And at times sin can have this almost type of bondage on you. But truly free, and what God offers is freedom from the bondage of sin. So if you're walking through life right now, still feeling that type of bondage, turn to the Lord. Place your faith and trust in him and walk with him. Walk with him, delight in him. And his promise is that he can set you free in Christ from the bondage of sin, the hold that sin has on you. The third thing I want to look at is the word great. Have you ever heard the phrase GOAT? The greatest of all time. So in our world, what does it mean to be great according to the world? The first one is power. To have a lot of power, That could look like influence, control, impact on someone, accomplishments. I'm curious who you thought of when I said someone in the world that is powerful. Maybe it's someone with great wealth. Maybe it is someone who has the power to make decisions that can impact millions. The world looks at someone who is great as someone who has a lot of power. The second thing is someone who is first. The pioneer to do something that has never been done before, that is someone who is great. Do you remember the Scholastic book fairs growing up? Going and picking out books. My favorite book to look through was the Guinness Book of World Records, right? That was the coolest book to look through and be like, someone did this? How cool is that? The first person to ever, you know, fill in the blank. I thought that was so cool. The first person to do something. The world says it is great, someone who has power, who's first, and the third is someone who is the best. So compared to the field that they're competing against, they are the best. They are the GOAT, the greatest of all time. They are the best. The world views this as someone who is great, someone with power, who's first to do something or the best at something. That's what the world says is great. But let's look at what the kingdom says. The kingdom defies great as someone who is a faithful disciple. So Matthew 5:19 says this, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices, teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is talking about teaching of the laws and which laws to obey. And he says, if anyone is to set aside the laws, they will be called least, but whoever practices and teaches God's word faithfully will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. A faithful disciple is what it means to be great. Do you see how different the ways of the world are? Do you see how different that is? My encouragement is my challenge to you is many of you are sitting on years of experience of walking with the Lord. Many of you are sitting on many years of hearing and listening great biblical teaching, and your knowledge of God's word is great. My challenge to you is, are you practicing it and teaching it to others? Of course, there's many opportunities in our church to teach, to lead, from adults all the way down to preschool. And that's a way to use that gift that you have, the knowledge and the experience that you have. But it doesn't even have to be inside the church building. But who are you teaching God's commands and laws to? Those aren't just meant for teachers, but each one of us is called to be a faithful disciple. And what does it look like to be great according to the kingdom is someone who is a faithful disciple who teaches and practices God's commands. That's what it means to be great in the kingdom of heaven. The second way the kingdom defies great is a humble child. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" To be great according to the kingdom is to be like a humble child. What does that mean? That means dependency on God. I don't know if you know this, but children are very dependent on an adult, a parent figure, to take care of them. And so what does it look like to take a low position? That means dependency on God. Dependency on God for strength, for everything in your life, dependency on the Lord. That's also a type of humbleness, not prideful, but to be humble as a child, a lowly position with dependency on the Lord. What does it look like to be great according to the kingdom? Someone who depends on the Lord, who is humble at heart. And the third way, the last way, is to be a servant. Mark 10:43-45 says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus modeled this for us. He modeled what it looked like to serve others, and he's called you and I to do the same. Again, this is so encouraging to me because I look at the way the world defines great, and I'm never going to be the best at something. I'm not going to be the first at something. And truly, the kind of power that I will ever wield will not be great. But that's okay. I may not be great according to the world, but can I be a faithful disciple who loves Jesus and teaches his word? Yes. Can I take a humble position like a child and depend on the Lord? Yes. And can I serve others with love? Yes. And you can too. According to the kingdom, you can be great. And that's so much better than the way the world says is great. So what is our response to this? To looking at these three words and looking at the kingdom versus the world, what is our response? Maybe you're sitting there thinking, man, just like in your crazy swimming video, I've gotten really far away from my goal. I've been there. And maybe that's where you're sitting. And maybe you see the words that we've looked at today from the world and the kingdom, and you think, man, I've been following the ways of the world. I want to get back to having my focus on the kingdom, focus on Jesus, to define myself as being free in Christ, to define myself as being great in the kingdom by loving and serving and being dependent on the Lord. And I want to be defined as someone who is blessed according to the kingdom, not according to the ways of the world. What is our response to hearing this, to realizing where we are? The first one is to admit. Admit we are all guilty of seeing, desiring, or believing the ways of the world and what it says about being blessed, free, and great. Admit we are all guilty of seeing, desiring, or believing this way. Maybe it's each month, maybe it's even each day. At times we are pulled into the ways of the world. And we have to admit that we are guilty of doing that, of not seeking first the kingdom, but seeking our own world. The second thing is to acknowledge that the kingdom lens that we're looking at, what the kingdom says is blessed, free, and great, that is truly what is best. Because even as I was reading the things of the world, there might've been a little part of your heart that's like, that does sound really good though. I really do wanna be that kind of great or blessed or free. It kind of sounds fun. There might be a little bit of your heart that's wrestling with that because you see the ways of the world and you're like, that looks so good. But to acknowledge, truly acknowledge that the kingdom lens that we were looking at, that's truly what is best. That is what's best for you and I, is to seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of these things, to live as a citizen of the kingdom. So admit that we're guilty of it. Acknowledge that the kingdom is best. But third, it is accepting the grace and love of Jesus. Because you and I have all fallen short. You and I have all fallen short and lived according to the ways of the world, yet we can be set free by Jesus Christ. You and I can be blessed through Jesus Christ. You and I can even be called great by Jesus Christ. But accepting that love and that grace, accepting that invitation to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God, and to truly trust him with living for him, to admit, to acknowledge, and accept. To accept that grace and love of Jesus that he is extending to you, to say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will give you life and life abundantly. Follow me and you will receive eternal life. That's the invitation that you and I have. But we also have the challenge to each and every day wake up and live according to the kingdom of God. If you would, in this time of response, would you close your eyes and bow your head? I want to pray for us, but I also want to just give a moment and a little bit of space for you to think about and evaluate. What are the things in your life that you are viewing from the ways of the world, that you've believed and accepted the ways of the world? Maybe it's more than just these things. Maybe there's other areas in your life that you look at and you say, the world has been speaking so strong in this area, but I know it's not good. It promises satisfaction and love, but it always underdelivers. Because if it's not from God, it is not good. And so, as you sit and you think about the ways that you're following the world instead of the kingdom, would you admit that you have gotten away from the kingdom of God and believing and focusing on the world? Acknowledge that the kingdom is best and accept the grace and love of Jesus. I just want to encourage you, in front of you, there's a connect card. And in this time, if you are thinking about becoming a member, if you're thinking about making a decision today to dedicate your life for the first time, recommit, be baptized, join the church, all the decisions that you feel like the Lord is leading you to make, don't leave without making those decisions. But what you can do is fill out a connect card and take it to the connect room across the hall. And let's do business there. Let's talk about what the next step that God is calling you to do. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this time to read your word and to study it, to be encouraged, but also be challenged. God, forgive us when we follow the ways of the world. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to focus and seek first the kingdom of God. Forgive us for the ways that we have been operating in this world, believing and trusting the world over you. God, would you help us to live for you each and every day? We love you and we thank you for the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.